I want to take the opportunity to welcome you all here today. Before we start, let's open in prayer. Dear Jesus, I thank you for this day. I pray that your spirit would just lead this service and that you would just, and the service would honor you and you'd just be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. As we have just celebrated the birth of Jesus, I thought I might share with you what has come to my attention while reading the scriptures. First, a few significant names of Jesus, the word peace. Here in Isaiah, we read of the royal titles given to him. Isaiah 9, verse 6 through 7. For to us a son is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. Now in Luke we read, in Luke chapter 2, verse 13 through 14, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. In Luke, I noticed the word peace and what God is saying in this particular verse. The word peace means calm and quiet. When some people read this verse and then turn on the news and see wars and terror attacks, they might say that's not peace. Where is the promised peace of God? However, in Luke, it says, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Let's see. Do you hear that verse? It must have some significance, because we see that God repeated it twice. God gives his peace to those with whom he is pleased. You see, we can be in a violent situation or times can be just tough, and God can give us peace when we don't feel calm. Because the peace he gives us is a deep inner peace. When we are caught up in the spirit of Christmas in a worldly sense, or sports, or everyday life, we may lose the peace of God from our hearts without noticing. I ask today, are we pleasing God with our lifestyles? Are we being obedient to his word? Are our eyes on him, trusting him in every situation? When we keep our eyes on him, we will know his inner peace. Anyway, that's just what I felt the Holy Spirit was just laying on my heart.
You guys can pick a hymnal if you would like. One of your favorites. That's a good idea.
Breck.
My own. 131.
Worship Christ, the newborn King. Saints,
Today, you are welcome to go with Pastor Jeff to the Mackville Nursing Home following this morning's service. There will be service tonight at Ray and Lisa Ripplinger's house at 6 p.m. Everyone is welcome to attend. Tuesday is prayer meeting at the church at 10 a.m. Wednesday, there will be Bible study here at the church at 7 p.m., but no youth group. Thursday is our New Year's Eve party here at the church. All ages are invited. The party will start at 7 p.m. and go till whenever you'd like to leave. At 8:30, we will show the movie Beyond the Mask. Please bring some appetizers and treats to share.
Now we're going to sing some praise and worship to our one and only Lord.
Great and mighty is He, great and mighty is He. Great and mighty is He. Like a bride waiting for a groom, Jesus, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. God, we
Holy.
there's nothing worthwhile that can ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're a living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free and my shame is children. Will you leave that of the flesh behind?
find your way to the altar of the Spirit and stay there. That you might be embedded in the work of the Holy Ghost. For I have need of you. And my blessing and my peace rest upon you this day.
If you have a prayer request, you can just step out of your seat and we'll have people come pray for you.
I don't know how many you guys know, we're just going to announce it as me and my wife are expecting our second baby. So that's really good news. So everyone can clap. Our second baby. So we were just wondering if we could have everybody gather around us and pray for the baby.
anyone else needs prayer, just stand in your aisle. Well, that's good. No one else needs prayer. That means you had a good week. If anyone has a testimony, maybe, what the Lord's done in your life. Well,
I was just saying how the Lord is just, he feels us and he knows us and he knows what we need. And I was missing my granddaughter and this little baby is just filling that spot. So I just wanted to thank the Lord for that.
Anybody else? Okay, then I'll have Alana come up here and she'll pray over our offering. And Brandon and Layton.
Dear God, I pray that you would just have people give with cheerful hearts and that they would give how much you want them to give. And I also pray that you would just have the Holy Spirit on their heart and they would just give what you want them to give. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, I'm so glad it's Christmas. All the tinsel and lights and the presents are nice, but the real gift is you. Happy birthday, Jesus. I'm so glad it's Christmas. All the carols and bells make the holiday swell, and it's all about you. Happy birthday, Jesus. Jesus, I love you. Happy birthday, Jesus. I'm so glad it's Christmas. All the tinsel and lights and the presents are nice, but the real gift is you. Happy birthday, Jesus. I'm so glad it's Christmas. All the carols and bells make the holiday swell, and it's all about you. Happy birthday, Jesus. Jesus, I love you.
Breck, are you going to read?
I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexual immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. That's like an airbag to most people. Blows up in their faces. See, a lot of people think that homosexuals are born like that. No. God wouldn't create someone to be created to basically go to hell, because homosexuals will not enter the kingdom of God, as it says right here, black and white.
I'm going to read to you Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, my Bible has a commentary, and the commentary to these two verses really just kind of, I don't know what it was, but I just felt like I was supposed to read them. So my mom typed them out for me. So in verse 1, we urged you to present our bodies as living sacrifices to God. Jesus' followers must possess a strong passion to honor him in every aspect of life. Out of gratitude to God for his mercy and salvation, we should be completely devoted to loving him, living by his standards, and servicing at his purpose for our lives. Our main goal should be to show God's holiness in all we do. This includes moral purity, spiritual wholeness, separation from evil, and complete dedication to God. This requires separation from the patterns and practices of the world, so we can pursue a deeper relationship with God. As we consider his sacrifice for us, offering ourselves to him as living sacrifices is good and pleasing as our spiritual act of worship. We must offer our bodies to God as dead to sin and alive to God, and as the temple of the Holy Spirit. We must realize that true godly worship involves a lifestyle that brings honor to Christ in words and actions. It is not necessarily a great sacrifice to voice our worship to God in a church service where people are gathered for that very purpose. Worship becomes a true sacrifice when we take it outside of the church by living in a way that truly honors him, truly honors, exalts, and brings positive attention to God. Verse 2 tells us not to conform to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by renewing our minds. The writer Paul brings out several things in verse 1. There is very real pressure to conform to the pattern of this world and be squeezed into its likeness of many different levels. Christians must firmly resist the temptation to accept and imitate the world's ways of thinking and behaving. The reason we must resist adopting the world's ways is because it is evil. It is under Satan's rule, it is hostile to God and his people, and it is built on human wisdom and values. The world holds a worldview that Christians cannot accept because it rejects God and his standards. Christ's kingdom is not of this world. The world's kingdom is full of spiritual darkness, deception, and seduction. Christ's followers are called to be a light in the midst of this darkness. Our lives should reflect a positive difference that those of the world cannot help but notice. This includes resisting the temptation to conform to the varied types of worldliness common in society, including greed, selfishness, humanistic thinking, a desire for power, envy, hate, revenge, filthy language, sexual lust and impurity, ungodly entertainment, fashions that are immodest and seductive, substance abuse, relationships that do not honor God, and other such things that defy the standards of God's word. Instead of conforming to the world's values and lifestyles, our minds must continually be renewed and transformed to God's way of thinking. This can only happen as we spend time reading and meditating on his word. Ponder over and over what it means and how it applies to our lives. This will allow our visions, values, behaviors, and plans to be directed by God's eternal truth, rather than by the world's temporary and deceptive pattern. The end of verse 2 tells us that after renewing our minds, we will be able to test and approve what God's will is. By having a spiritually renewed mind and a transformed life through a growing relationship with Christ, we are able to discern and follow God's will, his desires, plans, and intentions based on his character and purpose. This is his highest and best way of life for us, though not necessarily the easiest. God's will is good because it leads to a Christian's spiritual and moral growth. It is pleasing to God because it serves his purposes. Even though we may not always understand it, it is perfect because we cannot improve on God's will. It is absolutely what is best for us in our relation to fulfilling his purpose. Now the Nidlingers are going to come do a skit.
John 4:35, Jesus said, "Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." Matthew 9:37-38, then Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." In Matthew 28, 18-20, the Lord Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is why we do what we do as Christians. It is also the reason why we are all to be involved with the harvest. And so we would like to present the skit, "Wake Up, the Harvest is Ready."
Wake up, for the harvest is ready. Wake up, for the harvest is ready. Wake up, the harvest is ready.
No, you're not mistaken, there's 4 months until the harvest.
Well, look at the fields, they're ripe for harvest.
So they are. What about that? Well, I don't care for harvest that comes too early. I'm going back.
Wake up, the harvest is ready.
Go back to sleep.
Wake up, the harvest is ready.
What? Oh, it's you. Go away. It's too early. I'm tired.
But the harvest is ready. Wake up, the harvest is ready.
Oh, no. Not again. You know I can't. You know I can't help you.
But the fields are ripe and ready for harvest.
I know, and you want me to help, but I'm not very good at harvesting. You should get someone else. I'm going back to rest.
Wake up, the harvest is ready.
No, I'm having a bad hair day.
But the harvest is ready.
I don't have the right clothes to wear.
You look fine.
I might break a nail.
What?
Look, I told you I can't do whatever it is you want me to do. Try that person over there. I'm going back to bed.
Wake up, the harvest is ready. No, it's not. It's warm outside. It's not raining. It's sunny.
Why are you going out there?
Why not?
Is there a clear slide out there?
Really? Where?
Out there in the center of town?
No, there isn't.
But there could be, so I'm not going. I'm going back to bed.
They have a lot of excuses, don't they? You know what Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Why don't we pray together and ask him to do that? Lord, you know Jesus said that the harvest is plentiful. Please send out workers into your harvest field. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We are soldiers in the Lord's army.
I guess I care more than I thought. I guess I can try to help.
I guess these clothes will work.
Hey, there's no ferocious lion out here.
Open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest.
Wake up, the harvest is ready.
Psalms 46:10. Don't open it. I'll just tell you what it is. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. I'm not done. So like 2 months ago, I was watching Disney Channel. I know, all of you went, ugh. So I'm watching my favorite show here, and all of a sudden, they're talking about praying. I'm like, whoa. Rewind. What was that? And they're talking about God. And whoa. It's Disney Channel. They're talking about God. So I'm watching this, and I say, Dad, you got to see this. They're talking about God. Whoa. And so what they said was this, like, sciencey guy. He said, I don't get it. You can't see God, so why do you believe in God? And so the teacher, he says, well, you see those apartments over there? You can't see the stuff in them. You can't see the people in them. But they're still there, aren't they? And then the next morning, this girl and her friend, she said, do you pray? And she said, yeah, I don't mean in a greedy way. Do you pray? And she goes, well, yeah, sometimes, I guess. And then the girl says, I prayed for you. And you don't realize it now, but little by little, God's taken every nation, little by little. And it's not starting in Asia. I'm telling you that.
Hey, Carlene, are you ready to go?
Sure am. We're going.
Witnessing! Let's make sure we have everything. Why don't you read off the checklist?
Sure thing. First thing on the list of essential items is a bone.
Check. No guard dog will be able to resist this juicy morsel.
I can hardly resist it myself. Next, neighborhood map.
Right here. But we won't get lost like last time.
Oh, man, why'd you have to unfold it? Here, let me try. That does it. Next is a boombox with Christian hip-hop.
Right here. Word up.
Okay, but please turn it off for now. If they hear us coming, then they'll pretend they're not home like we do with the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah, we have to sneak up on them.
And last but not least, our sack of tracks.
Check. Right here. Oh, sorry, man. I didn't see your foot there.
Wait, there's something on the list we're forgetting. I know it.
Oh, I remember. The paper bags.
Right. How can we forget the paper bags to put over our heads?
I can't. Oh, wait.
No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, otherwise, all our friends wouldn't recognize us. I can't see too well.
Me either.
Hey, watch where you're going.
I'm going to read Matthew 8:1-3.
After he came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. And a leper approached and bowed before him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be clean. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Matthew 8:16. That evening, people brought to Jesus many who had demons. And Jesus spoke, and the demons left them, and he healed all the sick. He did these things to bring about what Isaiah the prophet had said. Isaiah 53:4. He, Jesus, took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Last August, I went to a John G. Lake Divine Healing Technician training in Bismarck. I learned that if we as believers say that we are not responsible to get the sick healed, or say that we doubt we have the gift of healing, we are calling Jesus a liar. For in Mark 16:17-18, it says that one of the signs that would follow believers is that they would lay hands on the sick and they would recover. I would also like to share with you Matthew 10:1-8-7. And when he called his disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sick, all kinds of disease and all kinds of sickness. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. I have also learned to stay alert. As he put the Great Commission into action, the enemy will try to derail us. He starts by trying to raise doubt and tries to deceive you little by little, often by using voices of people and activities that are time-consuming. Then tries to get you to deceive others. John 14:11-13. Believe me, that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that I will do, so the Father may be glorified in the Son. Romans 8:11. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. Ephesians 1:19-20. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms.
From a devotional book, The Word for Today, printed in Australia by United Christian Broadcasting, I would like to read to you the following. The wise men could have not imagined humbler circumstances than those surrounding the birth of Jesus. Max Lucado paints the picture. The ground is hard, the hay is scarce, cobwebs cling to the ceiling. Mary looks into the face of her son, her Lord, his majesty. At this point, the human being who best understands who God is and what he is doing is a teenage girl. She remembers the angel's words, his kingdom will never end. Majesty in the midst of the mundane, honor in the filth of manure and sweat, divinity entering the world on the floor of a stable. This baby had once overlooked the universe. His robes of eternity were exchanged for the rags keeping him warm. His golden throne room abandoned in favor of a dirty sheep pen. Worshipping angels replaced with shepherds. Meanwhile, the city hums, unaware that God has visited their planet. The innkeeper would never believe he had just sent God out into the cold, and people would scoff at anyone who told them the Messiah lay in the arms of a teenager on the outskirts of their village. They were all too busy to consider the possibility. But those who missed His Majesty's arrival that night missed it not because of acts of evil or malice. No, they missed it because they weren't looking for him. This Christmas season, in the midst of the toys, the tinsel, and the tumult, stop and look for Jesus. If you know him as your Lord and Savior, take time to worship him. And if you don't, then make him your Lord and Savior. If you do, it will be the best Christmas and New Year's that you have ever had. I would like to remind you all that nothing in this world lasts forever. Only God's kingdom will last. Matthew 1:21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. 1 John 5:11. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. John 2:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
Well, that's a lot to follow. There was a lot in that, and I hope you get the opportunity to maybe come and talk to them about what they shared or something they sang or something they did, and maybe find out why they shared what they did. Some of this opportunity for the youth to get up and do these things is great because many times they have no place to use it, and so it's always good to do that. And so keep on encouraging them to do that. It's always a good thing to see that take place, and maybe we'll do more of this. I don't know. We'll see. That would be good, wouldn't it? Yeah, see, Chris is all for it. Amen. Well, I want to share one more thought with you before we close the service this morning. If you'll turn with me to Matthew 21. In looking at Jesus coming to as a baby in a manger, it's interesting that all the places where babies probably should have been born were full. All the places were, that had opportunity for Jesus to be born were full. And I find that interesting because the Bible specifically says there was no room for him in the inn. Well, if you think about that, what was occupying Jesus' place? Why wasn't he able to be born like everybody else? I don't know how many other babies in that day were born in a manger, but the reality was that Jesus was, and he had to be because there was no other room for him in the inn. So in Matthew 21, we find that Jesus came to the temple. If you'll join with me in reading verse 12, Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned tables and money changers and benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer. But you are making it a den of robbers. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw this wonderful things he did, children were shouting in the temple area, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, replied Jesus, have you never read? From the lips of infants and children you have ordained praise. And he left them and went out into the city to Bethany, where he had spent the night. I find it interesting in this little short passage of Scripture that they were making God's house a den. They didn't make it an inn for Jesus to dwell. Your life and my life is where God wants to dwell. Is your inn so full of yourself and the things that you want that God has no room? And I promise you that what we did this last year was great. What God did through you this last year is wonderful. But it's not anywhere close to what he wants to continue to do through your life. And what we need to do from this moment on as well is continue to make room for him in me, in you. And if I don't learn to rearrange the things that are in my life to allow him to have more room, our lives might be so full of ourselves that he has no room to do what he really wants to do. And so this morning I want to encourage you, look at your life. I really don't care that we're at the end of another year. I don't think God really cares, to be honest. In fact, it's probably the most disappointing year of end part of the year when everybody makes resolutions and never keeps them, when you think about it. But why not make a decision today to say, Lord, what room do you need in me to accomplish what you desire to do through me in this coming days? And if I make room for him to do that, guess what's going to happen? God's going to begin to fill you with more than you've ever had before. He'll always put in you more than you had. And the way he's going to do that is through his word. He'll never fill you with just stuff. He'll fill you with his word, and out of his word begins this birth and growth process that begins to bloom and blossom in you, things that you can't produce by yourself. And so unless you have this in you, you'll never be able to become what God wants you to be. God gave us his word so that we might be birthed in us, his truths, his word. And out of those truths, I'll begin to break off out of the things that I've learned and portion it out to somebody who needs it. But until then, I really don't have much to break off other than myself. So make room for him in your inn. And I would encourage you this morning just to take just a few moments of your time and say, Lord, what part of me do you need now? What part of my life do you need so that what you need done this coming days, coming weeks, coming months can be accomplished because I've made room? Well, you know, when you go to town and your mom and dad or whatever might go to town and they buy some furniture, they don't leave it out in the garage. They don't leave it at the store. They want to bring it home so they could get it in where it needs to be. And, you know, I've never really walked into anybody's house and saw a bed leaning against the wall with the tag still on it. Well, what's up with that bed? We just haven't found room for it yet. It's a brand new bed. It's better than the one you got. Why wouldn't you take the old one out and put the new one in? You know what I mean? And that's what I think God wants to do. God wants to pull out some old things and begin to invest some new things in your life and mine so that we can be that inn that God can live and dwell and be there. You know, see, he's not a visitor. He's not on vacation. He wants to dwell there. He wants to dwell inside of me and dwell inside of you. And so I encourage you this morning to make sure that you have the opportunity once again to be stirred in your spirit to say, Lord, whatever it is you want in me, I want. So that if there's anything in me that needs to be out of me, I give you liberty to pull it out. I give you liberty to do whatever needs to be done. And I think that'd be a great privilege for God to do more in your life and through your life as we surrender to that work. Because he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Not a house of busyness. Not a house of good things. Not a house of anything else. He says, I want my house to be a house of prayer. But he says, you are making it a den of robbers. The indictment was on the people who had the house. I have control over my house. What happens in my house right here is all dependent on what I allow. I can't blame anybody else because I'm the one that allows things into this house. And you have the same for you. So we need to be very careful of what we allow in this house because when I became a believer, I told Jesus, this is your house. And if what's in this house doesn't represent him, it needs to go. And that's why we give him room. We give him room to do what he wants in us. So this morning, why don't you stand with me and we'll just close. I don't know, do you have a song or anything? We'll just pray. That's fine. And just take a minute and ask the Lord yourself, what is it that he wants to do in you? Have you asked him? And give him liberty to do that. Say, Lord, here's my life. Take inventory. Whatever it is you need to do in me, I give you full freedom to do. And if he shows you something that you need to get rid of, ask him how he wants you to get rid of it and just be obedient. And then just be ready for God to begin to put some things into you that will definitely be valuable for the days ahead. Lord, we just know that through the Word of God that we're instructed that once we become yours, you said we are not our own, we were bought at a price. Therefore, we are to honor you with our body. Lord, the only way we can do that is to make sure that what's in it is of you. And Lord, if there's something that's in my life or in this congregation's life today that doesn't need to be in us, I pray that the Holy Spirit will bring conviction, will bring correction, will bring about the adjustment that needs to be made in our lives so that what is in us can reflect you. And so, Lord, I want to thank you and praise you for the privilege and the opportunity of giving us this morning this opportunity not to hear what's on the hearts of our young people, the things that they shared, and how that can inspire us and how the Word of God can do great and mighty things in us. And I pray that it goes deep within us, more than just the surface, more than just this morning. It'll be a decision that lasts for many, many years because we've chosen to walk with you. And so, Lord, we thank you for working in us this morning so that what is done in us is lasting. And so we just surrender to you today, and we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to continue to do. Holy Spirit, you have full freedom to do in me what you need to do. And I pray that you do the same. Tell the Holy Spirit he has freedom to do in you what needs to be done. And then when he comes and he begins to tell you things, don't put him off. Surrender. Allow him to have his way. For he knows what's coming. And he knows what needs to be done. And you and I will never be able to fulfill the purpose God created for us without obedience today. Obedience today is so important to fulfill what God has. And if we're not obedient today, we may not be able to fulfill tomorrow because of disobedience. So be ready to surrender to him. Be ready to do what he asks. And watch him do what can't be done any other way through the work of the Holy Spirit and his word, working mightily inside of you. And so we just love you and thank you, Lord God, and we just want to continually allow you to have your way in us. Go with us from this place, Lord, and allow us to continually be led by your Spirit. That where the Spirit is leading, we will walk, we will follow, we will do what needs to be done. Not to give ourselves glory or honor, but only to give you glory and honor, because you rightfully deserve it all. We ask this in the precious and wonderful holy name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody said, amen. If you need prayer, grab somebody and get some more prayer before you leave. Otherwise, there's time to fellowship and whatnot, so be encouraged, okay?